According to data released in March by the State Education Department, the high school graduation rate in New York remained relatively unchanged from 2022 to 2023, with about 86% of the students who were freshmen in 2019 successfully wrapping up their high school experience in about 4 years. The completion rate is about 7 percentage points higher than a decade earlier, but state education officials say they remain committed to finding additional pathways to achieving a high school diploma. For more on the high school graduation data, we're joined on the Capitol Press Room by Harlan Benjamin Gomez, the recently appointed Executive Director of Education Trust New York. Welcome to the show, Harlan, and congrats on the new gig.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So from a statewide perspective, what's the significance of New York's 86.4% graduation rate for last year and the fact that it was basically the same as the year before? Does that mean anything in particular to you?
Yes. I mean, we really find it hard to believe that students who had less than 1 year in high school under their belt when the pandemic hit experienced no change in graduation rates compared to students who graduated earlier on in the school system. And we know that this data really stands in stark contrast to the growing body of research that we have done on our own and has been done nationally that shows the pandemic dramatically impacted students, particularly students of color and those from low-income backgrounds. So, for example, if we look at the 2022 National Assessment Education Progress, NAEP results, only 28% of New York State eighth graders scored proficient on mathematics, which ranks us 46th in the nation. So this also tracks with our own assessment of New York State data. So if we look at the Regents exam and compare proficiency rates pre and post pandemic, we see that the 2019 cohort that graduated in 2023 had consistently lower proficiency rates when we compare them to the 2015 cohort that graduated before the pandemic hit. For example, in ELA and math, we saw a 20% drop in proficiency rates for those two cohorts. So given that context, it's really hard to understand that the state is basically saying, nothing to see here. The kids who were freshmen when the pandemic first hit and the kids who graduated before the pandemic even started, surprise, the kids who were affected by the pandemic actually had a 3% increase in graduation rate. So that's really hard to understand with these numbers. And, you know, maybe New York State had released an Army Corps of tutors that had a mass scale intervention post-pandemic, we could believe these numbers. But the fact that the proficiency rates are where they're at and that we didn't see that level and scale of intervention during and post-pandemic, it really makes us believe that there's another story behind this data.
Well, in terms of what that other story could be, assuming Commissioner Rosa is just not throwing darts at a dartboard to pick the numbers, does that imply that there is a lessening or lowering of standards so that the graduation rates can remain relatively unchanged?
Well, difficulty in answering that question is that the state didn't release disaggregated data in this new round of graduation rates results. So we don't actually know how many students graduated as a result of additional exemptions that were created during the pandemic. We know, though, we've done our own analysis on previous years' data that we were able to do a Freedom of Information Law request to, so that we know that disaggregated data for the class of 2021, for example, we saw an increase of exemptions that those students took from 10% to 70% if we compare them to the previous year's cohort. So there has been a loosening of the standards. There have been significant exemptions that were allowed during the pandemic, which we understand that there needed to be flexibility. However, we really believe a lot of that flexibility is what's behind this data and showing that hasn't been a change in graduation rates.
Well, yeah, during the heyday of the pandemic, we heard a lot about the exemptions from things like the Regents exams. But it's my understanding that they really haven't publicized any exemptions for the 2022-2023 school year. So, one, did I just miss exemptions that were being provided? Or two, is it possible that there were just less publicized exemptions given by state officials?
Yeah, I mean, we can't imagine that the data we have from 2021 would significantly change in 2022 or 2023 in terms of students taking advanced, students in schools taking advantage of these additional exemptions. We know the exemptions ended in August of 2023, and so we definitely plan to do a Freedom of Information Law request to get this data. But this is concerning that the state is releasing data that doesn't show a full picture of what's actually happening. It's very hard for us to know how do we support these students moving forward. Sure, they ended the K through 12 system, but they're going into our colleges and universities, into our workforce, and we need to have this type of information to know what supports they need moving forward. We really are concerned that there's been a significant lowering of the standards, and it decreases confidence in what it means to have a New York State diploma. And so it's hard for us to understand the impact that it's having on these students as they move into their next post-secondary stage.
Are there other limitations from the data that State Education Department released? Because for me, someone who does not specialize in education issues, I'm going through the database that they put forward, and it's more information than I'm going to ever use in a lifetime. But maybe you'll tell me that someone who specializes in this, there's other things, even in addition to the exemptions, that you would have liked to see in this information.
Yeah, I mean, I think the exemptions are the main thing, but also that's important to see disaggregated by who the students are that are taking advantage of these exemptions. We know that based on previous data that we've seen, that districts that are serving students of color, like disproportionately serving students of color and students from low-income backgrounds, are the ones that are most taking advantage of these exemptions. And so that's concerning. While it looks nice on paper to say, wow, look at this huge increase of graduation rates for students of color and low-income backgrounds, if what's underlying that data is actually they're less proficient, but they're being passed along anyway, that's very concerning for us.
The data also indicates some different graduation outcomes based on different things like for students of color versus their white peers, English language learners versus non-English language learners, people who are homeless versus not homeless. Do any of the demographic data stand out to you, either for good or ill?
You know, that's what was really hard to do a thorough analysis of, because if those tr it's showing, for example, trends in increasing graduation rates for students of color and students from low-income backgrounds, great, we would want to celebrate that. But if that's only due to the lowering of standards and making it easier to graduate by meeting lower standards on graduation requirements, then that's not something that we want to celebrate. We want to understand that, okay, when we make these changes, what does it do? What does it mean to lower standards for, and how does it impact those populations in particular? So I really think without disaggregated data on the exemptions side of things, we can't have a thoughtful assessment of are we improving our services and meeting the needs of students who have historically not done well in our school system.
Well, even with the possibility of exemptions being given to the 2023 graduates, there are still some wide disparities in results. So, are those results useful just based on the different outcomes? Or because you have said you don't have the full picture, you don't find anything useful with that information?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously we're still seeing that there are disparities between different racial groups or different socioeconomic status, and that is not a surprise in our school system. That has been true for decades. So that's not a surprise to see a change in there. But again, without really understanding that what the trends are showing, and this is also just in general a problem that we're seeing with these constant changes to the graduation requirements, it's really hard to compare year over year if the requirements are changing. So we don't know, are students of color, is there a reduction in the gap of who's receiving Regents diplomas or advanced diplomas? It's really hard to tell because they've changed the requirements for how students can even receive those diplomas. So, from a data analysis perspective, if we don't have consistency in the graduation requirements year after year, we really can't track trends.
From your perspective, is there anything in terms of protecting the best interests of students or school districts or educators or some other education stakeholder that would defend the idea of not publicizing exemption information?
I honestly don't really see a rationale for that. I think I think that the it's understandable that flexibility was required during the height of a pandemic. I was a parent of a kindergarten during the height of pandemic. I understand the impact that it had on our kids in our school in our schools. However, not really seeing how that flexibility has impacted the outcomes for these kids, it doesn't allow us to provide the right interventions for them. So we don't know these kids who graduated in 2023, what supports do they need in college, given, that exemption data would help us understand how can we support them as they move into the workforce or as they move into college. They're out of the K through 12 school system, but they're still in our systems and in our society. We have to know how to support them. So that kind of data, I just think, is critical for us to know. I don't know why it wouldn't be released, and it's certainly public information. So we plan to request disaggregated data.
Well, based on the information that is out there now, what, if any, use does it play for the ongoing discussion that state education officials are having over creating new pathways for graduation, specifically potentially overhauling the use of Regents exams as a tool for determining what it takes to get a diploma?
Yeah, I mean, I think this really is a an opportunity for us to think about what changes to graduation requirements, what the impact that it has on our student population, as the state continues to consider graduation requirements. So the Blue Ribbon Commission's recommendations are out there. There are a lot of open questions about policy and implementation before these recommendations should be put in practice. And in general, it really just is concerning that the constant change of graduation requirements really leaves the public to wonder what does a New York State diploma mean at this point in time, and really reduces confidence in what the state is saying about what a New York State diploma means. So as they continue to consider changes, I think it will be critical to track these students in particular, and see how they're faring in workforce in college, in our SUNY and CUNY systems, for example, and think about that as they consider other changes to the Regents exams in particular. We really believe that there should be an objective measure to know that these students are proficient and will be able to be successful in college and career. And a lot of the changes that are being considered lacked an objective measure of whether the students are proficient and will be successful. And that really has an impact on students as they move into college. Are they prepared to do entry-level courses? Will they spend more years in school and spend more money in order to graduate? Will it be harder for them to enter career and workforce level employment that allows them to earn a living wage? Those are really important questions, and we should not be graduating students without having clarity on whether our requirements are allowing students to be successful in their post-secondary lives.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for this conversation. We've been speaking with Arlen Benjamin Gomez. They are the recently appointed Executive Director of Education Trust New York. Arlen, thank you so much for making the time, and good luck in the new role.
Great. Thanks, David. It was great speaking with you.
And for more Capital Press Room content, visit capitalpressroom.org or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. And if you listen to us from an Apple device, make sure to leave us a rating and a review so it helps other people find the show.
Support for Capital Press Room comes from Ørsted and Eversource. South Fork Wind, America's first commercial-scale offshore wind farm, is powering New York with clean energy. More information about the workers, businesses, and investments that made this project possible is available at southforkwind.com.
And by Better Buildings New York. Better Buildings New York supports clean, healthy, zero-emissions buildings and thermal energy networks. It's in favor of the New York Heat Act. More information at betterbuildingsnewyork.org.
Join us again for Capital Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.